Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
Look out there, look out there.
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers goes deep on second and two. He's got to leap in Devontae Adams.
He's a bad man.
More pressure, ball is out. Green Bay got
it. He's that family.
Daniels again. Let's make no mistake about it. This game is won and lost up front.
Hey, let's go. Dominate on three. One, two, three, dominate.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, everybody. Cheesehead Nation, we are back for this Cardiac Pack edition of Cheesehead Radio. Your hosts tonight are the inquisitorial CeeDee Angeli of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV, the still exhausted from the game, Kelly Hodgson, and your third host tonight is little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Network once again are their fine folks at Ticket King. They've been selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for over 25 years and have earned a reputation for excellent customer service and prices. Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com. That takes care of the formalities. Let's get this show on the road.
Who moves my cheese?
Well, the Green Bay Packers starting out in style in their 100th season with a tremendous come-from-behind victory in the season opener against the Chicago Bears. We're going to go right around with our Who Moved the Cheese 10 seconds. We're going to quick talk about things that we love. First of all, Sharp Cheddar, the excellent crowd-pleasing favorite, my Sharp Cheddar. Randall Cobb, left for dead, forgotten, trade bait. Ladies and gentlemen, Randall Cobb is back.
I'm going to go with the captain obvious choice and go with, we thought he was dead, but he was only mostly dead last night, but Aaron Rodgers. How about that second half, guys?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rodney Dangerfield of the Packers receiving corps. He doesn't get any respect, but boy, was he big last night. Geronimo Allison.
Geronimo! Moving on next, we're going to go to our Swiss cheese. It's good, has some holes in it. My Swiss cheese this week, Aaron Rodgers' contract. Yes, I was certainly all over it. Felt it was way too much to give to one player, but last night, he might have been worth every penny.
I'm going with the Packers' defense. You know, a few little issues here and there, a little uneven, but they really stepped it up late, and I'm excited for what these young guys are going to do.
I'm actually going to go the opposite. I'm going to pick the Packers O-line. They had some holes last night, but they got better with age. And by the end of the game, they were pretty stout, and they were getting the job done. I thought that Rodgers was going to be deader than dead because of the way they were collapsing in the beginning of the game, but they grew into themselves by the end.
All right. And last of all, Limburger cheese, foul-smelling, throw it away. My Limburger cheese has to be Clay Matthews III. One tackle on the night, invisible until the exact point where we need him to do exactly what we don't need him to do, and he does it. Oh, Clay.
Okay, I'm going to go with McCarthy's game plan the first half. Painfully predictable, same stuff, different day. Even me, way up in the nosebleeds, could script it out.
DeShone Kizer. I mean, really, could you do any more to try to screw up what was a historic comeback? We still had to overcome you. Come on, DeShone.
We have a lot more great Packer Talk coming up with you on Cheesehead Radio, but first, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
The Playbook.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a talk about this game. Historical, historical game. Probably one of the most exciting games we've seen in quite some time, but I mean, it couldn't be any more perfect with the win over the Bears. Jersey Al, let's just get your thoughts here. How was this for you watching from Jersey?
Well, probably no different than you watching from Wisconsin, but I have the pleasure of managing the Cheesehead TV live blog during the game. And boy, is that an experience when the Packers are putting up first halves like they did on Sunday night. You would think that, you know, we were back in the 70s, that's what we could expect from this team, from this Packers team. But in any case, I kept the faith. I certainly wasn't optimistic if Kizer was going to stay there that we would do anything. But as soon as Rodgers came back, you could kind of see that look on his face. And you could see the players around him all kind of like, oh, okay, this is getting real. And it did get real. I mean, it took a quarter for it to kick in, I guess. But once it kicked in, boy, it was foot to the floor, pedal to the metal. And what an exciting win. One of the most memorable games that I can remember watching.
In recent memory, it reminds me of the season opener in 2011. When the Packers played the Saints and they won at the last minute, the crowd just went bananas, except for the try-hard Bears fan in front of me who was oddly very silent. Yeah, it was not as loud as a college game, but I think this was one of the louder games I've actually been at in years. The crowd just, the last couple minutes of the game, everyone was on their feet. You could not hear yourself think. It was something magical. This was one of these games that you'll think about from years to come.
Nice little piece of trivia here. Prior to last night, the Green Bay Packers, over the first 99 years of their history, were 0-111, including postseason, when trailing by 17 or more points at the start of the fourth quarter. They are now 1-111. Amazing. So, I mean, a historical game all around. Jersey, I just got to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. How does this add to his legend? I mean, let's talk about that for a second.
I think one thing it's going to do is dispel or maybe put off, at least temporarily, all the naysayers who say that he's not as tough as Brett Favre. You know, you still have that contingent of Packer fans. Well, Favre would have done that. Well, you know what? Now maybe they can say about somebody else, well, you know, Rodgers would have played. So I think that's one thing. I also think this is going to be, when it's all said and done, in Rodgers' top 10 games that you'll look back on and say this was one of them.
The one thing I want to go away finally forever, because it's been driving me nuts, is the myth, and it truly is a myth, that Rodgers can't close fourth quarter come behind games. We've had a couple Hail Marys, and then last night. And then I also think about that Saints game that I mentioned in 2011. What do you mean he can't come from behind? The guy is a closer. He can do it. And he can do it with one leg. And like somebody pointed out on Twitter today, he is the only person I know that can successfully win a one-legged butt-kicking contest because he did it.
There was such a sense of hopelessness going into halftime. I mean, DeShone Kizer was clearly throwing interceptions. He was a mess. We're sitting here thinking, okay, this could be another whole season. He didn't last through the first half. He is a China doll. This whole season is shot again, and now we're going to spend $140 million on him. It is crazy. And then for him to have come back injured and done this exquisite comeback as he did, that was masterful, that, you know, it's just one of those things you can just imagine. I mean, the frustration of Skip Bayless watching this show and him not having anything. I mean, he just couldn't say anything about the game because he was perfect. There was nothing he could criticize. It was just this coup de grace for a guy who's already had an exceptional career. But, I mean, now he's actually getting those bona fides for being the GOAT, for being the greatest of all time. Fantastic play all around.
As I was a little worried about before the game, I was really hoping that the Packers would have Aaron Jones to be their starting running back for the entire season. I think you saw last night that while Jamal Williams is serviceable and he certainly has a role in pass blocking, he doesn't have the ability to find those holes and break off nice gains like Aaron Jones does. So I'm going to be equally disappointed next week when we play Minnesota and we won't have him. But that was one thing. On the defensive side, I think there was nothing more obvious than how thin we are at outside linebacker. I mean, every one of the Bears runs that Howard or Cohen broke off were all to the outside, you know, where we had the inside all plugged up, the defensive line, the inside backers were doing their job. So they just decided, well, we'll just run outside. And Clay Matthews, Kyler Fackrell, you know, they were just nowhere to be found. So that's what I noticed mostly on the defensive side.
The advent of the wide receivers. I mean, we came into this season believing like, well, we had Davante Adams and he'll be fine, but Randall Cobb was an unknown. Geronimo Allison was Geronimo Allison. Bunch of rookies. We really came into this game thinking that it was going to be the Jimmy Graham show and the Lance Kendrick show. And, you know, we thought the tight ends were going to run this thing. And, you know, maybe the wide receivers would be okay. It really turned out to be the other way, where the tight ends were kind of invisible. We didn't hear much from Jimmy Graham. We didn't hear much from them. But holy cow, especially in that second half, two huge plays, the playmaking ability we remember from years ago. Geronimo Allison, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this guy is now firmly entrenched as the number three. Those rookies be darned. We don't need them. And they're all delivering heroic plays. So you can be really happy about the wide receivers.
You know, I was thinking about this on the ride home last night when I was listening to the radio. And I think having Graham on the field actually freed up people like Geronimo and Cobb because he was drawing coverage. But I think one thing that was really underappreciated last night was how much Jimmy Graham was actually blocking. And I think part of that was out of necessity because if you look at the first half, the offensive line was really having a trouble containing Khalil Mack. And that's when they had to throw everything in the kitchen sink at the defense from trying to squash Rodgers. And I think Jimmy may not have had a whole lot of receptions. He had one really good catch. But I think he made up for it in drawing coverage off the receivers and also blocking in some when it was really needed.
Yeah, they did use him to kind of, I don't know that I would call it blocking, but to get in Khalil Mack's way a few times, you know, basically run across his path so that he didn't have a straight line to the quarterback. And that certainly did help Bulaga have a little more time to set up. So they did use him a lot in the second half in that role. I wish they had started doing that in the first half, and we may not have had an injured quarterback, but that's our Mike McCarthy.
I think we have to give a little credit also. I know you just touched on it, but the defense did manage to shut this offense down. Now, mind you, this offense of the Bears was moving pretty much, I don't want to say at will against the Packers defense, but they were hanging on to the ball. They had a couple really good opening drives. They were controlling the ball, even if they weren't putting up a ton of points in the first half. I mean, I think it was 10-0 at half, if I'm correct. Was it 10-0 or 17-0 at half?
17-0. It was 17-0.
The defense may not be exceptional. They may not be completely cohesive yet. They may not have Clay Matthews playing that well. The young corners may still struggle. But, boy, they shut down Trubisky at the end of the game. I mean, he looked like Randy Wright out there, like bad Randy Wright. Not that there was really a good Randy Wright, but he looked like bad Randy Wright out there. I mean, just really couldn't connect on anything. It really was great.
We didn't talk much about McCarthy, which I'll avoid doing that for now because I don't want to be like a broken record. But what you saw, well, maybe I won't avoid it. I just can't stop. What you saw the first half was vintage McCarthy, you know, ISO routes, Rodgers looking downfield, nobody open, getting in trouble, and he ended up getting hurt as a result of that. Forced to adapt, look at what happened in the second half, right? Going to the pistol,
exactly.
Quick passes, march up and down the field. Okay, so maybe you didn't get 50 yards at a time on a long pass each series, but you marched up and down the field, you scored touchdowns, you won the game.
Well, and Mike McCarthy's always going to be our you're always going to have to question what he does and how he approaches the game. But the fact is he did come out at halftime, and wow, it was a totally different team. It was a totally different team coming out at half.
Yeah, without a doubt. Oh, just if I can interject a non-Packers item here, but still something that's interesting to us Packer fans. New York Jets 48, Detroit 17 at the moment. 50 seconds left in the third quarter. 48-17.
So we're not estimating that Detroit's going to be very big in the division race, are they?
Not based on
are
how they look
ever?
Right now.
True. They're always hopeful. Not this year, it looks like. And let's talk a little more about this injury with Aaron Rodgers' knee. And you know, obviously, we saw it. We saw him go to the locker room. Everyone's freaking out. But he comes out, and he's forced to – it basically looked like something out of Monty Python, you know, where he's basically having his knee chopped off, and it's just a flesh wound, and he's going to stand in the back and pitch the ball back there.
Not dead
goes
yet.
All Daniel's son. Yes, not dead yet. So I'm not sure if you guys have heard what the actual diagnosis is. I've heard a sprained MCL, but I looked around and I didn't get anything accurate yet. Did any of you guys hear anything yet about what we have for a diagnosis?
I'm leaning towards sprained MCL, and there's an orthopedist, and I'm blanking on his name right now, but he's a team doc that's on Twitter that pointed out the type of brace Aaron was wearing, a very thin brace. Is more in line with an MCL type tear or type protection. MCL, medial collateral ligament. If you look at your knee, everyone's familiar with the ACL, which is on the inside of the knee joint behind the kneecap. The medial collateral ligament, the MCL, is on the medial, the inside side of the leg. It connects the thigh bone, the humerus, to the tibia, the shin bone. You can function without one. It's not like you don't lose the stability you would lose if you tore your ACL. The fact that he was up and moving, yes, you can function without an ACL. He would not have had any stability last night with the brace that he had. So I really don't think it's an ACL injury. MCL injuries are graded in three ways. One, a first degree, secondary, third degree tears is probably more information than anyone ever wants. A first degree tear is just you stretched it, you tore a couple of the fibers, you're sore, you bounce back pretty quickly. A second degree tear is a partial tear through the ligament. A third degree tear is it's completely gone, it's completely severed. You can function quite fine with a third degree.
But you can't
play
football
sore.
Necessarily.
Well, you can play football, and he proved it last night. If I had to guess, he's probably got a second degree tear. We won't know. He's probably getting an MRI this week sometime. And it's going to come down to his mobility, and it's going to come down to pain. And you can control pain. Brace will give him a little sense of stability. But I think you're going to see what you saw last night. You're going to see a quarterback in the pocket that's not going to be taking off and running. And unfortunately, every defense is going to now scheme against that. But it's not a bad thing. You look at Tom Brady, and he's very effective staying in the pocket. The thing is, Aaron can still... hit a dime in the back end, the back corner of the end zone. But it means he's probably going to be playing from the shotgun. He's not going to be taking off and running. It's going to be different. And I think the fact that they had to play to his injury last night really took the Packers out of the rut that they were in with McCarthy's painfully predictable scripted game plan of the first half. They had to think out of that box. They had to put a square peg into a round hole. And I think the fact that they had to change was good for McCarthy, because I think they all just got sucked into complacency. I saw last night a lot of people already tweeting, fire McCarthy. We can all predict his scheme. And this forced them to do something different.
And I look at Rodgers now trying to play next week. And you talked a little bit about that, Kelly. But, you know, first of all, it is interesting, because if you think about Brett Hundley and DeShone Kizer, both are very mobile quarterbacks who scramble. Rodgers is a very mobile quarterback who scrambles. It's interesting, as you said, when you put him back into a pocket and make him stay in the pocket, maybe they're more effective this way all along. Maybe the whole design of the offense, which was dependent on Rodgers' mobility, and then having guys like Kizer and Hundley, who are also mobile, that's kind of sputtered. the past couple of years, but all of a sudden you put him back there and just let him work his magic with his eyes and his arm. And as long as you can protect him for long enough, it's great. I guess the concern I have going against the Vikings next week, which is considered to be one of the top defenses in the entire league, how much do we risk by letting him stand back there as a statue if we still have McCray and Bulaga playing next week the way they did this week?
First of all, I'm not going to blame Bulaga. I think you think of that horrible play with Kaiser, and Kaiser's the one that I think that should fall on the sword, not Bulaga. I don't think the risk is any different than when he's had a pulled hamstring, when he tore his calf. He's going to play. That's just who he is. I don't think this is as severe as when he tore his calf a couple years ago, and we went all the way to the NFC Championship game, and we would have been in the Super Bowl with a really hideous injury had it not been for that muffed kick that we won't mention, Brian Bostic, who, by the way, was very funny on Twitter last night commenting on the game. I don't think the risk is as much. I don't think the injury, yeah, there's risks, but I don't think it's as severe as it was the year of the calf tear. Honestly, I think he's more mobile this year than he was when he tore his calf. It really affected his speed. He still has some speed. He had to adjust his throw last night, but it isn't like excruciating pain every time you plant your foot down when your calf muscle's torn. This is going to be more shifting side to side where he's going to feel pain, not necessarily just moving, back and forward.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that he does play next week. That's my concern. Obviously, they're going to leave it up to the medical staff. If it's the same situation as it was during the Bears game, we'll see him. And I think Kelly is most likely on the right track, and I think we will see him. And hopefully, he doesn't get killed.
Unfortunately, every team in the league now knows how he's injured, where he's injured, and you know that the Vikings are going to be gunning for his knee.
Yeah, come on, Kelly. I think that's unfair. Do you honestly think the Vikings would ever send a linebacker at Rodgers with the intent of hurting him?
Never.
Dude, really? It's like such a bad joke. It's so funny. I'm really laughing, but it's funny because it's true.
Not like it's happened before or anything.
Last year or anything. But let me just tell you, watching, as soon as he went down, I assumed the worst. It's like he's rolling around on the ground. I'm like, oh my God, he's blown his knee out. It's like curtains. I won't be able to give my tickets away. I'm not going to want to drive 3 hours. And then he went in the tent, and all of a sudden you see one wall of the tent just kind of kick out like somebody's madder than hell in there and is kicking inside the tent. And the next thing you see is he's leaving on a cart, kind of blotchy-faced, mad. I'm like, oh, God. So I'm willing to accept mostly dead Rodgers, because mostly dead Rodgers just beat the Bears on national television.
Yes, he did.
So moving on, let's go on to, another interesting topic that really would have been the story of the night if the game would have stopped at halftime, and that was Khalil Mack. We were wondering, maybe he won't even play. He played. Maybe he'll be rusty. Wasn't rusty. Maybe he won't be that much. He had a big impact on the game. I mean, first half, he has that strip sack. He has an interception for a pick six. This is playing out exactly as Bear fans would have scripted it. We just traded for Khalil Mack, and oh my gosh, we're going to beat the Packers in Lambeau Field, season opener. We're going to the Super Bowl. Even though it didn't work out that way, he was pretty impressive, guys. Khalil Mack was pretty impressive for the Bears.
Yeah, he did wear out, though, okay? He did wear out. Rust, whether you want to call it rust or not, eventually the Packers caught up with him. They came out with a better plan. And you saw him the last quarter. He was dragging. He was nowhere near what he was in the first quarter. So I do think that we got a little advantage catching him, on the first time out on the field for him. Next time around will probably be even tougher, but at least I think the Packers will know what they're in for. And hopefully, Mike, will have a plan for him from the beginning of the game and not wait till disaster strikes.
And again, I think Rodgers coming back and playing a different style of football really stymied the Bears and stymied Khalil Mack, because they were expecting a mobile quarterback, and suddenly you got something that was more reminiscent of Tom Brady. And Mac, with his limited practice time with the Bears, didn't know how to adjust. And I think that was part of the factor in that.
Yeah, they went up tempo also, you know, when Rodgers went into the pistol. And you could see Mac was gassed the second half. He couldn't keep up.
Well, he reminded me, and it's the same situation with my kid who's in middle school who's in cross country. It's like, first week of practice, she's like, how'd you do? It's like, I ran a mile, and then I died. I'm like, did you practice all summer? Well, no. Well, this is the same situation. He really didn't do a whole lot with the team, and he ran out of steam, which I think he won't the next time when we're playing, unfortunately, in Chicago. But I think we dodged a bullet with him because he came out on a mission. You know, the NFL is posting his stats saying, have a game. You know, of course, it's like, Mr. Rodgers is on line one, but okay. But he really did have one of these all-pro type days if you looked at his first half stats. Everything he did, he had an answer to everything until Rodgers got hurt, and then he did not know how to respond.
So the obvious question I think I need to ask now, first half, everyone on Twitter, every prognosticator is saying, why did the Packers not trade for this guy? How did they let him get by? Do you think Gooch should have given up more for him? Do you think there was a possibility, now that you saw him on the field and the impact he had?
Give up more than two first-rounders? Because I assume, you know, they would have to beat the Bears' offer by quite a bit, considering that most people would consider the Bears' picks will be a lot higher than the Packers' picks. So, for me, it's still a no. It was a no last week, and it's still a no. I don't care what he did in the game last night. Giving up more than that was just too much for me for one player, plus the money. You know, put those two things together, you're going to have two of the largest contracts in the NFL on the same team. You're going to have trouble filling out the rest of that roster. So no, I haven't changed my mind a bit.
You know, I don't think I have either, and I'm going to play Moneyball as well. Sure, you can start giving away people, but then you might not have Randall Cobb. You might not have Geronimo Allison. I might be okay with not having Clay Matthews, but you're right. That's a huge hit against the salary cap, and we're kind of coulda, woulda, shoulding on one half of football in the first game of the season. You know, who's not to say he's going to be the one that has the catastrophic injury and not Rodgers? Who's not going to say that everyone else is going to game plan against him and neutralize him? Yeah, he's a fabulous player, but I don't know if I wanted to get soaked like the Bears did. It's like the Bears don't have any really good draft choices for a couple of years. And if they need to rebuild, which they may or may not, they're going to be hurting for a couple of years as far as trying to get a blue-chip player in the draft.
Agreed.
Personally, I would have given them both draft picks and Clay Matthews.
And signed them to a $140 million contract?
Well, you know, CD may not have done that contract extension with
ye
Rodgers.
Who have
about in the past, too, but I am more of a believer now today than I was 48 hours ago. So, but as wonderful it's been and wonderful to see the Bears fans miserable and crying in their beer, what are some of your concerns right now going in here? I think, Jersey, you talked about DeShone Kizer. Concerns with his play right now and the situation that the Packers could be in if Rodgers were to miss time.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, right, what you have to do is just handle the ball, right? Just don't give up the ball. Don't fumble. Don't get strip sacked. Don't throw horrible, horrendous interceptions. Just at least be safe with the ball. If you do nothing else, at least do that. And he was anything but in that game. So he really needs to step it up. I mean, right now, is he looking any better than Hundley was looking?
No.
Exactly.
And I was talking to a fan last night at the game, and I don't know if this is true, but the Packers supposedly were trying to shop both of them and try to see who they could get a better deal out of, and apparently the people bid on Hundley. Do you know if it's true? I haven't vetted it, but I heard that at the game. I'm like, okay, that is interesting, because they're kind of a lateral move with each other. And my God, did Kizer look out of place, you know, did not know where he was in time and space last night. It was just mind-bogglingly awful. And yeah, maybe this explains why the Browns are the factory of sadness and didn't win a single game last year. because he doesn't know what he's doing.
I've taken a little heat on Twitter in the last several weeks over some of my opinions on Brett Hundley. And it's really kind of funny because mostly what I'm trying to say is just, hey, let's give him a chance. I mean, let's not, you know, if he does something well, let's not rip it apart because we're still mad at him from last year. But what Brett Hundley, I think, brought was a mobile quarterback who really wasn't bad as long as he was throwing short passes. Yes, he had a rag arm after about 10 yards, and you know, obviously he had some pocket awareness and footwork issues. The problem with DeShone Kizer is that I don't think he's accurate at any level. Otherwise, I think he's very much like Hundley, except he can be inaccurate on a short throw and on a long throw, but he has a better arm downfield. The biggest problem I think we have with Kizer is that he has David Carr-itis, which means we've put him on a really bad team for a year. He was getting sacked, throwing interceptions, a lot of desperation plays that he just went through 0-15 last year. David Carr could have been a great quarterback. Look at Derek Carr. I mean, he's fantastic. But you messed him up by putting him into a constant trauma situation, playing behind that offensive line and not giving him any help. I don't know if Kizer has recovered from this. I don't know if he's developed such bad habits that when he goes in the backfield, he doesn't have those fundamentals. And they talked about that bringing him in and having to basically strip that out of him and start over with him from scratch. I don't think he's there yet.
No, he's definitely not there yet. And I think you saw a little bit of the deer in the headlights look whenever he got under pressure. I think there was panic, you know, instead of managing the situation, there was instant panic. And that's as concerning as anything.
Well, that's how you play when you play for the Browns. Factory of sadness. You're going to always play as in a panic situation.
And I think it was exploited. It's like Khalil Mack had his number, and it's like, hey, kid, I know what chewing gum you're chewing because I'm right here, you know? And I think Mack got in his head. And I don't know if I'm comfortable with him in the long haul as our backup quarterback. He was, you know, stunk. And in retrospect, and yeah, here, throw things at me. I think I'd rather have Hundley. He might not have been able to throw, but he didn't lose his mind in the backfield. It's like you could almost hear Kizer going, screaming because he was just blind panic yesterday. It's like he forgot all the fundamentals of what to do. And of course, I was thinking, somebody call Kaepernick. You know, as controversial as he is, I don't think he would have crapped the bed nearly as bad.
I literally did think the same thing. We're going to move on. It is time for this week's tweets.
Packer tweets from Packer tweets.
All right, we have our tweets of the week. We each have a nominee for the best tweet of the week. We're going to vote on it and see who wins this week's tweet of the week. Kelly, what's your tweet?
All right, I'm going with the ever fun, insightful, and witty Quick Ball. His tweet was, yeah, sex is great, but have you watched Aaron Rodgers come back from a knee injury and lead a 20-point comeback? He's not incorrect here, people.
Okay, mine comes from Aaron Nagler, who is now able to talk and tweet like a fan again, having come back to Cheesehead TV. At some point during the game, his favorite thing, the three-man rush, here's what he had to say. Biggest down of the game against a second-year quarterback, and you go three-man rush. Just pour bleach in my eyes. Classic.
All right, and my tweet's got to go to my man Marcus Eversole. Get to listen to the guy every afternoon on the radio, even though he used to be one of our podcasters right here at Packers Talk. His tweet, that game was drunk. It was like a movie. That game was like a drunk movie starring Aaron Rodgers as Aaron Rodgers, hashtag Packers. So let's go around and take a vote. Kelly, can't vote for yourself. Best tweet of the week.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Nagler because bleach and after my disasters at my house last week is near and dear to me.
Okay, Jersey Al, can't vote for yourself.
Right, I'm going to go with Marcus. I like that
one. Right, that is a good one. So I'm going to have to
You're the deciding vote.
I am. Kelly, I'm going for Twickball. That was
a
good one.
Oh, it's a tie.
So it is a three-way tie.
And
everybody wins. And that is the way
we have it. Participation trophies for everybody.
Yeah.
Just like the Browns game yesterday.
So
football, anticlimactic.
Marcus Ebersol, you all get this week's Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
Easy drizzle. Oh yeah. It is time for this week's Hot Pockets, a chance for each of us to get one last 30-second dagger in there, per Wayne Larrivee. Kelly, 30 seconds, what's your Hot Pocket?
Why did we draft a punter? Last night is exactly why we drafted a punter. 40-plus yards every kick, didn't shank a single one, excellent hang time, and nobody booed him. And when everything was going wrong in the first half, he was the only thing that was going right. So, Hot Pocket!
Hot Pocket!
I did not get to watch the game last night. I was not at the game. I was not watching it on television. It's amazing because you go to the game and have a great experience. You can now watch TV and either with your friends or on Twitter. It's just a whole new multi-dimensional digital experience. Because I was driving last night, I listened the way I used to several times back in the 80s, and I was just listening to the game purely on the radio and having to imagine it in my head. The simplicity of listening to Wayne and Larry, even though it was a great game that I really wish I could have seen live, it was kind of a nice way to do it again. So that was my
Hot Pocket.
Yep, I'm going to go with let's all take it easy on Brian Bulaga here a little bit, all right? Let's cut the guy a break, all right? He's coming back from an ACL injury. He had like 5 snaps in preseason, and his first assignment out of the gate is Khalil Mack. I mean, come on, give the guy a break. And if you watch watching the entire game, he got stronger as the game went on. They gave him a little help, but even towards the end when he was one-on-one with Mack, he was the one dominating, not Mack. So let's just take it easy on Brian Bulaga, and that is my
Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheesehead Radio, Packers game predictions.
The undefeated division-leading Green Bay Packers host the undefeated division-leading Minnesota Vikings next week, 12 o'clock Sunday. Both teams 1-0. This will be for the division lead and a clear advantage going down the rest of the season. Tiebreakers, anything else? Big game, big defense. Aaron Rodgers unsure. Let's go through our Packer game predictions. I will start. First of all, you guys got to tell me, is Aaron Rodgers going to play or not?
Sure.
So if he plays, I'm going to say Minnesota's going to score 24 points no matter what. If Rodgers plays, Green Bay is going to score 36 and win. If they do not play Rodgers, they will score 6 and they will lose. So it'll either be 36-24 or 24-6, but I'm going to say Rodgers is going to play. I predict Green Bay to win.
Okay, I'm going to make the assumption that we're going to have a gimpy-kneed Rodgers playing the entire game, but I just think that the Packers are going to come up a little bit short this game. I've got Minnesota 19, Packers 17.
Clearly not a true fan.
Okay. Oh.
Not at all.
Ow.
I rarely pick against the Packers, but.
I'm kind of superstitious that way, but I'm going to claim home field advantage, and the Chiefs will stand alone next week. Rodgers will play. It won't be his best game. Maybe throw for 250 yards, but when he throws it, he counts. I've got a good feeling. I think the defense is really stout in Minnesota, but if our offensive line plays like it did the second half, I think we can handle them. But I think it's going to be a close game, just like this week, so I'm going to say Packers 23, Minnesota 21, and only because they're at home.
All right, so we have two of us picking a Packer win, one of us picking a Packer loss. Those are pretty good odds in my book. And ladies and gentlemen,
dude, you're totally hedging. You have them winning and losing.
I said if he plays.
Congratulations.
You said he was going to play. It's a win.
Yeah, CeeDee Angeli and his favorite plant, the hedge.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll win either way. Works out perfectly.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our ninth, count them ninth, season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalk.net, all one word, at PackersTalk.net on Twitter, and like the Packers Talk page on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen to us on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcasting app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap, gentlemen, and go Pack, go.
Good night, all. Go Pack.
Good night, everyone. Big win next week. Let's do it. Maybe.
The cheese will stand alone.
Cheesehead Radio.